One day in an old country church house, I heard Mother pray for me there. She prayed for the Savior to guide me to the
joining you live tonight around the world on WWCR. We're glad to have you in here tonight. Got a great program for you. The mystery of the rapture. We're going to examine some of those who have contributed to this biblical error over time, and we want to go into Scofield, C.I. Scofield. The man behind the myth, he was very enthralled by the rapture. And we're going to get into why he was enthralled about it and very excited. And what he left in the Scofield Bible. In 1974, at the plant that I worked in, I was plant supervisor, and I was presented in 1974, by the employees that were under me, a gift of a Bible. They knew that I preached, and they bought me a Scofield Bible. It was on December the report that it was presented to me in 1974, and I studied the Scofield Bible. As a result, I didn't have one. And I learned quite a bit about Mr. Scofield and how he had the King James Bible translated into what is called the Scofield Bible. The dispensationists tend to cherish the teachings of Scofield, and rightfully so. For this reason, his admirers consider it very unethical or possibly even contemptible to expose Mr. Scofield and the little-known secrets behind the man. Facts that should not be buried. Very few people know about him. Since he published the Bible, it's assumed that he was a good guy, and we're going to examine Mr. Scofield and see exactly what is there for Mr. Scofield to reveal to us tonight. Now, we're going to bring this information so that you can see a link or get a better view behind the doctrine of the rapture. The belief of the rapture was injected into the Christian minds as babes, that in the end times that the Messiah will return to reign on earth for 1,000 years of peace, after which Satan will once again be released, which really makes no sense at all. And I've taught on the 1,000-year reign and the error behind the believing. Now, to realize the story about Mr. Scofield, we look at the Talmudic political program of Zionism, which is world dominion, under the rule of man. And that man refers to himself as the Chosen. And to look into it, the parallel path is not intended to clash or to conflict or to cross at some junction, but to slowly and very subtly merge together, that we will simply open our eyes to the awareness that we are on the same path with two separate destinations in mind. And people that can read the Bible will soon come to realize that the doctrine of the rapture is an error and can't be right if the other end result is right. Now, either his kingdom is not of this world, or it's of this world. You decide. If his kingdom is of this world, then we would join Zionism to fight for that way. If it's not of this world, then we should strive to fight the spiritual fight for the kingdom to come. Jews have been awaiting the Messiah for 3,000 years, while Christians have been awaiting the return of the Messiah for 2,000, and the same small group made up the same story that the Messiah would have called from the group of the Pharisees as the perpetrators of the lie. And today, we have those same perpetrators. We know them today as lawyers. And Mr. Scofield was a lawyer. He was a con man from the state of Kansas. He was appointed the district attorney for Kansas. And there, he met the influential people to do what he wanted to do, and that was bring about a new translation called the Scofield Bible. It's known around the world as the Scofield. Now listen to this. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 14, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the minister of righteousness. Now, today, the key to understanding the Hebrew prophecies is made absolutely clear that the Jews, the way they interpret Zionism, are the first to achieve dominion over nations of the earth. And then Zion, or Zionism, will be proclaimed over the earth with God's chosen people, the Jews, sitting at the head of the kingdom. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to some of the reason. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5 is one that Mr. Scofield quoted to justify Zionism. And Yahweh, the Lord, will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud of smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. A defense against what? If this is to be the kingdom of the Messiah, who is, his kingdom is not of this world, who would need a defense? And yet today, we believe that if we arm Israel, who claim to be God's chosen people, that then Zionism will rule the earth, the Jews will be favored, and we will be the subjects as cattle, goyim. That's really what they think about you when you read the Talmud. And these things are being taught by the church elders who own a Scofield Bible. And it's to convince you that the Jews are God's chosen people, and Zionism is God's will for the sword. We're fixing to find that out as time goes on. We're headed toward the Third World War under the Scofield Doctrine. We have to have a war. His teaching is that all the world will come against the Jews, and the Jews will overcome them, before it's God's will for the Jews to rule in Mount Zion. Now, we notice that the kingdom of Yahweh, the one that the Messiah said that he was, my kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom needs no pillar of fire and smoke. It needs no atomic weapons to defend it. And the word in Zion simply means sepulcher. So the word Zion, in its proper interpretation, is not Zion, like some glorious kingdom, but it's a sepulcher, a grave. Solomon's temple was built on Mount Moriah, not on Mount Zion, where they say the new temple is going to be built. Mount Zion lies to the south of the old city of Jerusalem, separated by Nile Valley, and to the southwest of the Mount of Olives. Mount Zion is also known as the Golgotha, the Hill of Skulls, or the Calvary. Now, Zion and Calvary, then, are one and the same. The Messiah was crucified on Zion. And that's why they glorify and took the word sepulcher under the Hebrew word Zion, confusing the what we have today as the evangelist, the American evangelist. A lot of them come to mind. Oral Roberts is one. He taught at his university. They graduated thousands upon thousands of those who would go out and teach the doctrine of Scofield, that there was going to be a rapture, and that's what they teach. Also, the American evangelists today, the ones that are on television, the ones that are very important, every one of them, almost to the letter, starting with Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, John Hagee, and others, teach, along with Jimmy Swaggart and others, teach that we're going to create a rapture and that God will rapture the church out 7 years before that there is a thousand-year reign, and that the 7 years will be a tribulation period between the Antichrist and the Jews. He's going to make a league with them. Somehow they've got this in here in their doctrine, and that at the end of 3.5 years, that the Antichrist will break the covenant and turn on the Jews. And there will be a war to end all wars. This is the teaching of the rapture people. And no worry, because Mr. Scofield decided, after studying other doctrines that was becoming prevalent, that Zion and Calvary should be included, that Zionism was a way of getting Christians to believe in the doctrine of the rapture, that they themselves would be raptured out, and they would be 3.5 years of tribulation, 7 to be exact, but that in 3.5 years they would have peace, and then the last 3.5 would be wars and a great conflict between the Jews and the rest of the world. Now, notice this. The text in Isaiah in chapter 2, verse 1, clearly states that the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now, are you a Jew? Will you be allowed to worship in the third temple when it's built? I don't think so. Jews don't let Gentiles come into the temple. But the Christians somehow believe that when this third temple is built, that they themselves will be invited up to the temple to worship Jesus, who the Jews detest. The Talmud explains what they think about Jesus the Savior. And so then, these conflicting doctrines of the rapture, this is a soothe and tickle your ear doctrine to lure you in to supporting, giving money, funds, materials to build the third temple. All of this is coming about by the doctrine of Scofield, who himself went to prison. You say, well, that's okay, but this is a con man. Even his life exhibits being a con, a fraud. And yet today, his Bible is one of the most popular in Christianity. Now, let me tell you what Mr. Scofield was trying to hide from you. He got into the Tetragrammaton, and it appears to have its origin in the phrase found in Exodus 3:14, I am that I am. Before this, it was known as the Shem HaMephoresh, the 72-symboled name of God made up of 216 letters in the Kabbalah. Now, Kabbalah is an offshoot of Freemasonry. They merge together and work very well with Zionism as the main central theme to get those who are trying to form a Kabbalistic perspective of Isaiah 4 and 5, starting with the mountain of Zion that's been constructed, and that the deity will assign 72 of these to the infernal Sanhedrin, if you will, to watch over Zion and to protect it. And ministers are taught that at the second coming, we will all go, not to heaven, they've already been there, remember? But they're coming back after 7 years, and then they're coming to earth, and the kingdom is going to be set up, and we're all going over to the temple to worship. Christians that believe in the rapture have to believe in this doctrine fostered by Mr. Scofield and made famous around the world as he began to listen to a man by the name of John Darby, the pioneer of the Plymouth Brethren. Now, Mr. Scofield, while he was in prison, began studying the philosophy, and as a young con artist in Kansas after the Civil War, he met up with John J. Ingalls, an aging Jewish lawyer who had been sent to Acheson by the Secret Six some 30 years before the work of the those who were trying to foster this doctrine, and by pulling strings in Kansas with his compatriots back east, Ingalls assisted Scofield in gaining admission to the lawyer's bar and procured his appointment as federal attorney for Kansas. Ingalls and Scofield became partners in a railroad scam which led to Cyrus serving time for criminal forgery. Now, this is a fellow that wrote the Scofield Bible. And while he was in prison, he began studying the philosophy of John Darby, who was teaching the doctrine of the rapture, whom he had learned from a lady in Scotland, Miss MacDonald. And upon his release from prison, Mr. Scofield deserted his first wife, Carrie Scofield. He abandoned his two daughters, Abigail and Helen, and he took a young mistress that lived in St. Louis by the name of Flower Mission. He later abandoned her, after a while, for Helen Van Ward, whom he eventually married. And following his Illuminati connections back to the Sanhedrin Bar of New York with these rich lawyers, he settled at the Lotus Club, which he listed as his residence for 20 years. It was here that he presented his new ideals to, if you will, translate a Christian Bible concordance. After he was taken under the wing of Samuel Altemeyer, who later became chairman of the American Jewish Committee, the president of the American League of Jewish Patriots, and chairman of the non-sectarian Anti-Nazi League, forming what we know now as Zionism. Altemeyer introduced Scofield to numerous Zionist and socialist leaders, including Samuel Gompers and LaGuardia, Abraham Strauss, Bernard Barak, and Jacob Schilt. These were the people who financed Scofield's research trips to Oxford and arranged for the publication and the distribution of his concordance. It's impossible to overstate the influence of Cyrus Scofield on 20th century Christian beliefs. The Scofield Bible is the standard reference work in virtually all Christian ministries and divinity schools. It is singularly responsible for the Christian belief that the Hebrew prophecies describe the kingdom of the Messiah's second coming and the Zionist vision of a man-made new world order. It is precisely because that Christians persist in this belief as they remain blind to the reality of Zion, Scofield served as the agent by which the Zionists paralyzed or neutralized Christianity while they prepare America for her final conquest. Now, it's a short time since Mr. Scofield has published his incredible book. And generally speaking, those who tend to cherish his teaching without any concern whatsoever for what kind of man he really was, for some reason his admirers consider it unethical or possibly even contemptible to expose these embarrassing little known secrets about Mr. Scofield. Neither C.I. Scofield nor his work should remain above reproach, and considering the impact he has had on Christianity, his life should be examined. The type of person that he really was is very influential on the theology of what he taught. And we know that he was convicted for fraud, and we know that since he was formerly of Kansas, he was a lawyer, a politician, a shyster. He generally come to surface again, and promises were once more to gather around himself the halo of notoriety which made him so prominent in the past by publishing a book that the Zionist Jews would recommend for the Christians and all the seminaries and the theological teaching, that it would be the Jews after the 7-year rapture of the Christian church, when they were taken into heaven, and then they returned after the days of tribulation, which the Jews would emerge as the winner of the Third World War, and then they would be allowed once again to go into the Third Temple. Ladies and gentlemen, all this among the fraud, Mr. Scofield committed a series of St. Louis forgeries that could not be settled in court. And we know that he was going to jail, and he noticed he had a wealthy, widowed sister who helped by paying large sums of money And then we met the lawyer that convinced him to become a lawyer. We know that he was appointed a federal lawyer in the state of Kansas, and he practiced until he was sent to jail for the conviction of the forgeries. Now, if he forged the correspondence of a mortgage signed and executed by Mr. Scofield, the valuable property that he had won, or he had forged the document, this is what sent him to jail. The Bible says there's no respecter of persons, Romans 2:11. Wherefore, by the fruits you shall know them, Matthew 7:20. Scofield abandoned his wife and children and refused to support them. He abandoned his mistress and then married another. Moved to New York and made friends with the Zionist Jews who supported his endeavor to publish the edition of the Scofield Reference Bible, which has its footnotes in the premillennial teachings and provided those who needed help with the interpretation. He gave them the interpretation, and it's done more to expand the premillennial in the last half century than any other volume, because Christian evangelists were taught in the schools under heavy promotion of Scofield's work, and it became largely responsible for the popularity and the exhibit and the circular reasoning and the teaching in the Christian church. Now, when given the qualifications of a bishop, we understand in 1 Timothy chapter 3, a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, good behavior, given to hospitality and apt to teach, one that rules his own house well, having his children under subjection. And Mr. Scofield met none of the qualifications, and yet he became close friends with the Zionist Jewish brothers that gave him their friendship for and encouragement for publishing the Scofield Bible with his notes left inside. And the pre-tribulation rapture explained by Mr. Scofield said about the teaching of the Christian evangelist and pastors, which now today 2/3 of the churches preach the rapture, pre-tribulation rapture, claiming that it will happen before the tribulation period, 7 years. They will go to heaven. This is the teaching of the pre-tribulation. They'll be raptured out. And then they will return after 7 years. And then they will join in the glorious 1,000 years, and they will reign with Christ then in the temple that the Jews rebuild during the tribulation period. They will win the war. They will establish Zion as the earthly kingdom. That's what they teach, ladies and gentlemen. And the mid-tribulation rapture, claiming that it will happen halfway through the tribulation period, which is 3.5 years, like I told you a while ago. Now, the post-tribulation claims that it will happen after the great tribulation. The question is, which one of these is right? Or is any of them right? They are all false teachings as far as I'm concerned. and the confusion that surrounds these teachings is because there was an agenda behind the teaching to promote Zionism as the supreme chosen. Here again, Zion is the place of Golgotha. It is a direct insult, and it's a Jewish way of denying Christ, who they deny. They're Antichrist. They will not acknowledge him. But the Christians give them the benefit of the doubt, saying, oh, they're blind, and they can't see. But after the Christians are raptured out, their eyes will be open, and they'll know that we're God's children also. That we're Gentiles, but we're still God's children. All the Jews are God's children. None of them will be lost, even though they deny Christ, even though they denounce Jesus. And this is the teaching. The confusion that surrounds these teachings and the people that teach that Yahweh's return will be in a 2 or 3 phases. It's taught that when he comes back to get his people in the rapture, that he comes again to pour out his wrath, which is judgment. Then he returns again with those who have been raptured to set up his millennial reign on the earth. And the Bible does not anywhere indicate or suggest anywhere that this is the reason that he's going to return. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a fact. There's only one more return. That's in the end. When he comes back to put down all rule, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, not a Zionist world where they reign supreme, where they're going to sit in the temple. If you go to Thessalonians, you'll see who's sitting in the temple. It's not the one you think, it's Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches through the Apostle Paul, who had a revelation in Thessalonians, that it will be Satan himself. And the confusion that comes from the teaching of the rapture and those who promote it, such as C.I. Scofield, he was encouraged by the Jews who had him to teach this, to promote it and to publish it, and it became the largest, widest used Bible to promote these teachings in the seminaries around the world. But you know what Yahweh said? Not one scripture in the Bible says anything about God taking the saints off the earth. Not one. Instead, you'll find a type of being protected through the judgment. One example is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They walked through the fire. Another example is Noah. Noah was not taken off the earth. He was not raptured out. He was protected through the long wrath where the first world perished. He's also capable of protecting you, if so be he chooses it, and if he don't, so be it. You don't know what's laid up for you. The eye has not seen, the die is gained. And when the disciples were questioning the Messiah, he said, what is the sign of your coming? And he mentioned Noah, who remained on the earth, and the wicked taken off. He mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah. The wicked were raptured out or destroyed, and the righteous, Lot and his daughters, remained. When the Pharisees demanded to know when the kingdom of God would come, he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man, in Luke 17:26. The scriptures do not proclaim that a rapture, quite the contrary. A rapture is a false teaching. It come in the late 1830s by a man by the name of Irvin, who held services in Ireland. His followers claimed to be spirit-filled. It's later said that they were in witchcraft, and that the young girl, she was 14 years old, and she gave an utterance as she levitated off the floor that the saints would not go through the great tribulation. And from this utterance, from a 14-year-old girl levitating off the floor, came about the rapture teaching. And many believers, including Scofield, and we believe that he had motives that were not because of religious persuasion. We think that he was promoting Zionism, and the Jews were paying handsomely and well to establish the fact that they themselves would be the masters of the earth and their kingdom. They would be in the kingdom. They have no hope of going to heaven. They don't even mention that they are going. They don't believe in a savior. They don't believe anybody died. They don't believe they killed anybody. And if they did, he was a bastard and should have been killed. That Mount Zion is a mockery where the seal of the skull, Golgotha, was. And when they mention Mount Zion, a sepulcher was the grave of the Messiah whom they killed and said, "Let his blood be upon us." Irvin himself, after this theory of rapture became popular and he became noticed and noted, he prophesied the end of the world would come in 1847. But that error of false prophecy was overlooked, but the rapture error that he taught continued as the truth. See how lies continue on. And the best way to come to the knowledge of the truth is to examine the scriptures. Study to show yourself approved. It was Peter who was given to the keys to the kingdom, not the Jews. We know that Peter was not a Jew. He was a Galilean. Peter said, knowing this, first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, as he stated in 2 Peter 1:20. If there is a rapture, then the scriptures would reveal it, and Peter would have expressed it. The main scriptures that the rapture teachers use are 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Daniel 12 and 1, and Corinthians 15:50, and there are others, but under this foundation and the teaching and the prophecy of a levitating 14-year-old girl in Ireland, when she mentioned that we would not have to go through the tribulation, that sounded good to the Christians who don't want to suffer. They want to live a life of luxury. I mean, look at these American evangelists, these TV evangelists. They earn hundreds and thousands and millions of dollars. No wonder they don't want to go through the tribulation. They have not trained. They have not suffered. They won't reign with him because they haven't suffered. They want to go somewhere to reign with him for 7 years and come back to the earth. Brethren, I would not have you ignorant concerning them which are asleep. As we look at the scriptures, you got to ask yourself, why do these speak of a pre, mid, or post-tribulation as they've been interpreted to do? ask yourself, if you were not exposed to the rapture teaching, would you have gotten that understanding from these scriptures? I don't think so. I know I never have. Quite the contrary. I know that his kingdom in the end will be surrounded for those saints that remain on the earth. It will be a black and white issue. Satan will battle against those that love Yahweh and keep his commandments. Are you one of those? Or are you one of those that sit in these churches where these evangelists are promising you that you're going to leave the airplane? The pilot can't go because he's not a rapture believer. These absurd teachings. The Bible says that Yahweh himself will descend from heaven with a shout and a voice of an archangel and with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and those which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet Yahweh in the air, and we shall ever be with Yahweh. Therefore, comfort one another with these words, as it's written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. After the battle of Armageddon, after the suffering, you will be put in prison. That don't sound like a rapture to me. You will be delivered before the synagogues. You know what those are. Those that have authority. The word scepter is the true word when they mention Zionism. You say, well, that means scepter. When they say he's coming back secretly, don't believe it. If they say he's here, don't run over there. If he says there, don't run over there. For Yahweh will appear in the heavens, and all the earth shall mourn, all of them. That means that they're going to recognize him and his coming. And the Bible said he's coming back with a flaming fire. That means he's going to be visible. That means that he's going to take vengeance. Bring them here before me. Gather them. I will send my angels, and they shall gather the wicked first. Listen to that now. They shall gather the wicked. It is the good angels that's going to gather the bad wicked. And then he says, bring them here before me. And slay them. Who would not that I should rule over them? His coming will not prevent them that are asleep, because he's coming with a shout. If you look at verse 13 and 14, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Who's coming back? God, the Messiah. Was Paul talking about those that were alive at his time? No. It's those that are asleep in the Messiah. The saints who have gone on before and died, they're coming back with him. And he's coming back in flaming fire. He's not coming back in a secret rapture. You're not going away to live 7 years in heaven. Yahweh's so good and so kind. His word is forever settled in heaven. And do you believe a little 14-year-old girl that got a revelation when she was levitating off the floor? And the history says that they were in occult teaching. But from this, it came something that tickled their ears. They love to get Christians caught on. Oh, my heavens, I just heard that we're not going to have to go through the tribulation. Well, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice just to leave all of our troubles behind? All of a sudden, we're on a 747. We get raptured out. That sounds good to the ears, don't it? Mr. Hagee will shout real loud. Give him glory. Ladies and gentlemen, you better hold your applause for the truth rather than for a lie. It sounds good. It tickles the ears. It has a way that seems right. But the end thereof is death. From such who turn away immediately. After the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars will fall from heaven, the powers of heavens will be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. That's not a secret rapture. With power and great glory is the second appearing, not the third or the fourth, as the rapture people would have you believe. He's going back, coming back, going back, coming back. Going to reign 1,000 years and then he's going to go back to heaven. That is so erroneous. Then shall appear the sign. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. The second appearing will be immediately after those days. The saints would have gone through the tribulation. Some of you will be put in prison. Some of you will be put to death. But don't worry, you're going to come back with him. If they killed you, all you do is exchange and come back in what we describe as a new body. You're going to have your head, your hands, and your feet, and your ears, and things of that nature. You're not going to be a mangled body. You're going to come back in a new body, in a new kingdom, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Man is not going to be in charge. It's not going to be a special chosen people in charge. It's going to be Yahweh. And let me show you where he's going to sit. He's going to sit on the throne of his glory. Because he's coming back with all of his angels. Matthew 25:31. And before him shall be gathered. I wonder what Mr. Hagee is going to think about that. He's promising a 747 ride out. And he's promising you the things that he can't deliver. Wouldn't it be nice if he was taking up tickets? He sells them right now. And people are paying to get them. They plan to leave here in a secret rapture and go up to heaven for 7 years. Well, it's going to be sad when they have to leave and come back to this wicked world. And they're still saying that Satan has still got to come. After the 1,000 years, Satan's going to be loosed out of his prison. All these things, they try to fit this into a little neat package and sell you a ticket to the rapture. Don't buy. Don't taste and don't handle. Notice, folks, I will show you the things which must come hereafter. Revelation 4. Revealed to John. Certainly, the church was not being taken off the earth. It means that they were still here, and it mentions nothing about the wrath, but indicates a rapture. Quite the contrary. Man has twisted the scriptures, and they've sold you a ticket to the rapture. Don't get on board. They twist them to prove their false doctrine. And they use the rapture teachers. For the mystery of iniquity did death already work. Only who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The rapture teachers teach that the one who led it is the Holy Spirit. And that the Messiah comes in the rapture. And he's going to take the Holy Spirit with him from off the earth. But what does the Bible say? I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. John 14 and 16. The same John who was given the revelation that they take in the fourth chapter as a rapture, he was on the Isle of Patmos, and he recorded the words that he would send another Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and he would abide with us forever. How long is the Holy Spirit going to abide with us? The Bible says forever. And yet, some would have us believe that forever ends at the time of the rapture. And we would be stripped of the Holy Spirit, and we would suffer in the tribulation. The last scripture that is supposed to prove the rapture is 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment and a twinkling at the last trump. And that's where they get the scripture about the rapture. Ladies and gentlemen, not enough convincing evidence. I want to remain here. I want to fight the good fight of faith. I want to be here when he comes. I want to be those that's kept the faith and hasn't denied his name. You listen to Pastor Buddy now, and I've got to get off here tonight. Praise Yahweh. I've enjoyed being with him. Sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary. 1-877-289-7439. Dr. Gary will be taking your calls. If you'd like to call Dr. Gary tomorrow, call him and tell him that you heard Pastor Buddy and teaching on the rapture. And we appreciate you doing that for us. 1-877-289-7439. Dr. Gary will confirm the false teaching of the rapture. He'll give you a few scriptures and a word of encouragement. And we would like for you to call him. Praise Yahweh. If you'd like to call Pastor Buddy, do so tonight by calling Pastor Buddy at 1-423-351-1082. Now, my telephone number again tonight is 423-351-1082. We'll be waiting for your call. Call us immediately after the broadcast is over tonight. You can write me, that's The Shepherd's Call, or simply just Pastor Buddy, at Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. Now again, Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. Put your card and letter in the mail, and we'll send you a track on the name of Yahweh, the Tetragrammaton. Mr. Schofield taught an error before Filthy Lucre. He was interested in selling Bibles. He was convicted of forgery, and he's got forgery thoughts of deception pinned into the Schofield Bible. You don't believe that sign is a teaching of the rapture, of the Christians being taken out, and the righteous man, the Jew, reigning over Zion. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh is the king. He's coming back at the last trump. He's not coming back for 1,000 years. 1,000 years is going on now. Prepare yourself. When you see him coming in the heavens, it'll be the final call, the end of the world. Every eye shall see him. It won't be a rapture of secrecy. You will know. Every eye shall see him. Praise Yahweh. We love you tonight. Go to our website. Brother Bob's got our website up and functioning quite well. We've had a lot of hits on our website, and we're thankful for it. If you visited our website before, we invite you back to study with us. You'll have articles of this nature posted there for your reading and for your learning. Study to show yourself approved. That's oneyahweh.com. That's www.oneyahweh.com. And we'll see you tomorrow night around the world on WWRB 2.390. We'll see you then at 9 o'clock on WWRB. Yahweh bless you. Yahweh keep you. And I'll see you next Sunday night here again on WWCR on the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy. May Yahweh bless you, and may Yahweh keep you in the truth. The rapture, it teaches without truth. And those who teach it are teaching for filthy lucre, because it shouts the emotion of the person when he can sit in the warm comfort of his seat, stand up and cheer and clap that he's going to get a ticket out and miss the tribulation. You be of those who have suffered that will reign with him. And I'll see you. Yahweh bless you.